Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Had those weigh in on the U of I Atlanta League text line. One that I wanted to get to. And I admittedly don't have a ton of insight to provide here. But Kyle, I'm sure you've seen it on social media. Terrence Shannon Jr. does have a little bit of a cast on, it seems like, his left hand slash wrist.
Of course he does. Can we go a month without having some bad news delivered?
Some kind of drama, bad news, something to worry
about.
That's
what I was looking for.
Yeah. I honestly don't have anything to give you. A whole lot. I did see
some speculation saying that maybe it was just so that he could only use his right hand or something. That can't be right, can it?
I don't think that that's the case. I think that might have been somebody kind of making a little bit of joke. I didn't mean to kind of rhyme there, but he does need to work on his right hand. I had heard somebody...
If it is a minor injury and he only has to use his right hand for like a month or something, it might not be the worst thing on the planet.
Then you're probably fine with that. I think that if it was something really serious, I would have heard about it in terms of like my conversations with those around the program. I haven't heard a whole lot. There was somebody that tipped me off about a week or so ago that, hey, he's wearing this around campus.
So, yeah, it's definitely not a right-hand thing if he's wearing it outside the court.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, a lot of fans, when you correlate it with, like, the Luke Goody injury during the Kansas scrimmage last year, obviously you had Sky Clark coming off the ACL and missed a lot of the summer. A year ago, you had Matthew Meyer with the back injury last fall where he wasn't participating in a whole lot of team activities for a while, and that had some lingering effects. I don't know. You'd hope that he's good to go, at least in terms of...
At least it's July and not October.
Yeah, you want him available for the Spain trip. Not that that's a make or break or anything, but it'd be good to get him on the court for that. Just kind of get the real value out of, okay, this is what our squad looks like. If you're going to have, and you are, someone in Ty Rogers who's in that point guard position, I think I'd want Ty to, part of learning what the point guard role is for the Illini is knowing what life is like with Terrence Shannon Jr. out there and how to set him up, where Terrence likes the ball, how to understand, okay, this is going to be an ISO for Terrence or a pick and roll for Terrence and Ty's going to spot up here or cut in this direction to play off the ball. But big picture, if it is just let's say it's a sprained wrist that he's out for a couple of weeks, it's no big deal. And again, if it was something that was of higher significance, now I'm not speaking on this with full certainty, we'd probably know about it, but to be determined.
Yeah, and I'm not going to worry too much about it, given, A, he was in a picture with a basketball in his hands on the practice floor, so if it was something overly serious, I don't think he'd even be participating, and B, it's July, the season doesn't start till November. if it was another Luke Goody situation, then it would be time to be all doom and gloom about it. But it's July. I mean, they're wrapping up summer workouts. Yeah, they got the Spain trip. I mean, he's going to be fine.
You heard it there. Kyle says it's going to be fine, so it's going to be fine.
If it isn't, then don't blame me. I'm just choosing to not have something to worry about. I want to be optimistic and just start looking forward to this team instead of talking about all the things wrong with this team at this point, because we've done that for a month.
No doubt. A 217 did say on the note of transfers, I'll take the transfer players with more experience who seem to be building team chemistry. That describes teams that sometimes beat us, like a St. Mary's.
I mean, I think there's some truth to that, especially when there's some of these teams that just don't have the talent, but if it's an older team, it's a team that plays well together, it's a team that fits well together. Those teams sometimes beat the more talented teams that are the ISO ball Illinois from last year teams that are just not really connected.
I'll give you an example. Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois was more talented than Penn State last year, although
teams in the Big Ten were that lost to them.
Sure. Although I don't want to discount Penn State too much, because I think
they did have two draft picks,
two NBA
and
players,
and Pickett,
yeah,
and a guy that
led the league in 3-point shooting,
yep,
and Andrew Funk. So yep. I mean, they were pretty talented, especially offensively. They weren't the best defensive team by any means. That was a real shortcoming of theirs. But that was a older team, one of the oldest out there in terms of college experience, and they did get a second year of Jalen Pickett, which provided a huge leap for him, and I think Illinois fans would hope for a similar second year in the same destination jump for a Terrence Shannon Jr. into being no doubt first team All Big Ten. I know he was by the coaches last year, but not the media, and maybe even challenging for a Player of the Year type of award. But yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's no doubt. I mean, anybody around the program would tell you that last year the chemistry was off, and that whether it's players coming out now and saying they're more together, whether hearing some of what the coaching staff has talked about, just the collective buy-in, there's a real hunger around this team, how they're working in summer workouts right now. And look, it's the summer, similar to Kyle saying it's July, no reason to get too worried. It's also, it's July. Usually everything that gets said about a team at this time of year is positive. Everybody
reports.
Likes their team. Everybody thinks they're going to have a good year, going to be better for one reason or another. So we'll see how it plays out.
We haven't had any of the Underwood practice comparisons yet, have we, where he gives you this guy is just killing it. He's going to – I think of him as this all-star NBA player.
I think that's been dialed down. Now, as a collective beat, we have not had Brad available since...
It has been a while, hasn't
Gordyville,
it?
I think, when he did his Coaches versus Cancer thing back in late April or
that
May.
That was April.
Back in April. So, since the team has gotten on campus, I know he spoke... Kendall Gill had his annual golf outing earlier this week, and he met with a few people out there, but he hasn't, in terms of a full, State of the Union of the summer. We'll probably get that sometime between now and the Spain trip to really get his full-fledged thoughts. But, yeah, I know that and look, some of it is worthy of poking fun at when you hear, Austin Hutcherson kind of reminds me of Klay Thompson or Mark.
I heard you guys, I think when I was on vacation, have the whole show of the Ubbin hang the jersey on the wall.
Oh, yeah,
Ubbin,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think?
That was an enjoyable segment. I love that.
It was lighthearted. It was fun. But yeah, Austin Hutcherson's jersey definitely hanging up there with Alex Legion and some of the other practice court heroes that have been here through the years. But that's about all I have to add as far as Illini basketball goes. Kyle, Let me. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. While we're on the note of basketball, I do want to transition at some point and talk some Cardinals, let you hear John Mozeliak. But there's been there's going to be an NBA in-season tournament. What do you think about that? Is it going to matter? I mean, the NBA for a guy like me is already don't really dial all the way in until the postseason. But I've been thinking about this, and I've read some other opinions, and I've thought about it a little bit. Yeah, in college basketball, we have the Maui tournament. We have the different type of MTEs, as they call it, around like the holidays, especially Thanksgiving week, that are very entertaining and appealing and something that I want to watch. I mean, I want to watch college basketball anyway. If Indiana's playing Kennesaw State, I might actually even tune into that on BTN, as ugly as that sounds. But what do you think about the in-season tournament? Is it going to have any juice? Is it going to have any reason to really care? And if so, what can the NBA do to make that be something that teams really want to try on in terms of winning it and for fans to actually have that type of engagement?
Yeah, I'm open to it. I'm open to seeing how it goes because I think the NBA regular season has really lost a lot of luster here when you talk about guys like you. Even, I mean, I'll watch the Bulls when they're good in the regular season, but the NBA regular season does just get really just unintriguing to me. So trying anything new to try and juice it up, and especially around Christmas time and everything, to really try and get some of that interest going well before the playoffs for the regular season, I'm open to seeing how it goes. I'm open to any new ideas. I don't really think it's going to be much in terms of, I mean, how much are teams going to, are we really going to get guys that aren't going to be doing load management just so they can win the in-season ring or whatever? I don't really know if that's going to stop anybody from sitting out or, you know.
Is it going to help LeBron's ring count? I'm going to give him a half
that's
a ring?
That's the thing I was also thinking of. In a world of social media where people are always trying to discredit, this isn't a real championship, or whatever. How much is the in-season championship going to get clowned on? Like,
you almost never won a Vegas invite.
You almost don't want to win it because it's like, oh, you're celebrating the in-season ring. Mm-hmm. Try winning the real one or what, you know. If it even adds a little bit more juice or a little more competitiveness, I mean, even for me, like, yeah, there's a championship to be won. Sure. I mean, that's a little bit, it gives you at least a little bit more incentive than, hey, this is game 27 of 81, you know? So I'm willing to see how it goes. I think they'll probably find new ways to improve it as the years goes on, as there is with anything, as there is with these all-star games or anything that there is, they'll make some tweaks and probably improve it for as long as they go. I'm just willing to give anything a shot, really, to pique my interest in the NBA regular season, because I really have kind of lost interest here, especially with the fact that the Bulls have been a mediocre basketball team here recently.
I can already see the Twitter war going on where you have the like, let's say the Lakers win it. Let's say the Lakers win in Vegas, and it's the LeBron fan club that's saying, was Jordan adding any hardware to his trophy case at age 38, 39? Like, there's a picture of Jordan on the bench with the Wizards. And then there's the Jordanites that are saying, yeah, LeBron won the Disney Bubble Bowl and also the Las Vegas World Series of Poker tournament bracelet. Like,
yeah, I know. Let's set it straight right now. We're not going to use the in-season ring and GOAT arguments. Like, give me a break.
I was thinking of one way that we could actually make people care, like in terms of the teams to really care and really try to win it and to add some actual appeal. I mean, look, you could have some cool matchups, which you're going to get throughout a NBA regular season anyway. Like, I think if there's, like, let's say it's the Lakers versus the Mavs on TNT, am I going to throw that on to see what Luka versus LeBron looks like? Yeah, I'll watch a little bit. But I think maybe in a tournament setting, a one-and-done type of sense. How about this, Kyle? What if, because I think people were trying to figure out if we have, like, a dollar figure, like, bonus for these players, will that make them try harder?
That doesn't really do anything for the fans, though. No. Like, oh, this $50 million player is going to make more money. Man, I'm really intrigued by this.
How about this? I came up with this. One ping pong ball in the lottery. The winning team gets one ping pong ball inserted into the lottery.
Is one enough? How many ping pong balls do they have?
I honestly don't know.
I feel like there's thousands.
Okay, maybe one's not enough.
You have to give like a percentage of...
What if you gave...
You get a automatic 5% chance at the number one pick.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that, would you that like has that? Some juice to that. Yeah, I do kind of like that. I was thinking along the lines of, like, can you – now, it's not going to matter for the teams that are going to make it anyway, but in terms of, like, the Cinderella stories or whatever, could you, like, guarantee a play-in spot based on winning the in-season tournament? The only issue with that is then if – then there's going to be zero incentive for some of these other teams to do anything in the second half. And, I don't know. And I guess you're not really going to get – it's very unlikely that you're going to get the 11 seed is going to win the in-season tournament over the best team. So I kind of like your idea. Yeah, anything that can make it feel competitive so that, no, Joel Embiid's not going to sit out to rest his sore leg for this game. We're actually going to get the biggest stars to play.
Kawhi's actually going to play.
Yeah.
Maybe.
LeBron will actually play in this one as his foot's not sore tonight. You know, like anything to actually have these games be full strength versus full strength as much as possible and have the feel of this means something. It's not just, oh, we won the in-season ring. No one cares.
And I think the single elimination dynamic can make for maybe some wild results. And yeah, that would provide some of what it's not going to get close to the NCAA tournament. Obviously,
no.
That's the most obvious statement in the world, but maybe you have a night where the Orlando Magic beat the Celtics.
Right. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see those. That would make it interesting to me if some of those bottom feeder type teams or those younger teams that really are a year or two away go on these big Cinderella runs where they're knocking off the one seeds in these conferences and it means a lot to them. I think that those are the teams that it'll mean a lot to.
A 704 does bring up a valid point. Do players really care about adding odds to the draft,
right,
though? Some may see it as a bad thing because it might mean more opposition to their
spot. Front office will be
all in on it.
All in on it, and the players are going to be like, who cares?
Yeah.
Are you drafting my replacement or what?
I think as a fan I would care. Like if
I
was a Bulls
fan
and I'm like, hey, yeah, the Bulls –
especially in a year like if they add it this year and you get 5% more odds to land Wemby.
Yes.
I mean, every fan base wants that.
It'd be the dream for the front office. Say, all right, we just need to win this early season tournament and then tank the rest of the way. Then we could possibly get the number one and number two pick.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
But then how annoying would it be if the eventual NBA champion wins the in-season tournament and they get the number one pick because they won the in-season tournament? And it's like, oh, my, come on.
Just bring
Jokic and
here.
Wemby together. Are we
I mean,
kidding?
It'd be fun.
Yeah,
be fun
it would.
There would be some of those, like if the Warriors were to do it, and like, oh
yeah,
man.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Just trying to figure out a way.
I just want to see how it goes. I'm open to seeing how it goes. I'm not one of those that's like, oh, this is a terrible idea. This makes no sense. I'm willing to see anything that can change the course of the regular season, and I'm sure that you can. Once you see it happen once, then there'll be plenty of ideas that pop up of, hey, this is how we can do this next year, and maybe that'll improve this. I'm intrigued by it, but I don't really think it's going to change a whole lot.
Let's just get Lonte and the Hillard Agency to sign a bunch of injury insurance, and turn into Slam Ball. Slam Ball's coming back, Kyle. Have you seen that? You're probably too young for when Slam Ball was actually on ESPN. But
I know what it is, but I never saw it.
Let's get some trampoline basketball going.
That would be entertaining to see. Now, how many injuries would it happen?
Exactly. That's why you got to have the insurance.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, NBA, I'll watch it. I like when the games are on Christmas. Like, there's really nothing else to watch.
Recently, there's been some football on Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, I'm taking football every day of the week over game 20.
Yeah, didn't your team play the snow game against the Bills?
They did. I thought you were gonna say, did they play this past year on Christmas Day? They did, and it didn't go well against Green Bay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
But yeah, that's true too. Yes,
it was.
They did play
the
snow
game
on Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this past year they did as well.
All right. We're going to catch another break. Let's play the Mosaic sound when we come back. You're going to want to hear that if you're a Cardinals fan. If you're not a Cardinals fan, well, you could take some happiness in the current state of the Birds, because they're going into the, towards the trade deadline in a rather unfamiliar spot. Who will they trade? What is their approach? John Mozeliak got asked that point blank, and he actually gave some candid answers. I'll give him that much. We'll get to that when we return. This is The Drive.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor. With the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates, they have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Here's what one shopper said about Pard's Western Shop in Urbana, 306 North Maple, between Main and University. He said, sure, you can find boots at some big box stores, but nothing like Pard's selections. They're unique, they're local, and they have an excellent store. So many people that visit Pard's in Urbana say the same thing. Pard's in Urbana, 306 North Maple, you can find the best boots in the world and shop local. Visit Pards.com. Pards.com. Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola. If you're looking for a pre-owned car, truck, or van, look no further than Sarah Champagne. You know them for their five incredible vehicle brands, the BMW, Honda, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. But did you know they also have over 100 used cars, trucks, and vans in stock right now? And at Sarah Champagne, they will take care of you. You can trust them. And prices begin at under $2,000. Stop by Sarah Champagne. They're Burwash and Savoy, or go online, sarahchampagne.com. That's Sarah, S-E-R. RRAChampagne.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Enjoy free yoga at Urbana Park District's Meadowbrook Park each Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. No experience needed. All are welcome. Bring comfortable clothes and your yoga mat or a towel. Instructors can modify the exercises to your experience level. Yoga is a great way to exercise and refresh the mind and soul. Make new friends or bring friends. Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 at Meadowbrook Park. Learn more at urbanaparks.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Played this yesterday, Kyle, and Lon said we got to update our music. He's not digging the early 2000s Eminem "Lose Yourself." I mean, this is a classic song, but what do you think?
I like it. It's helped me. I haven't known a lot of these, and so it's helped me broaden my horizons and throw it back to before I even.
There you go. In the spirit of educating Kyle on the early 2000s hip hop, I say we keep it. I'll throw a franchise tag on this one.
I can add fresh ones in there though, but the problem is, if I add fresh ones, Lon's not gonna like them.
Which genres would that be coming from for you?
I don't know. I'd have to think it over.
Country?
No, thanks.
I think I knew that answer when I asked it, but that's Lon's style. I'm not saying he'd want a bunch of twang on here, but me and you are on the same page. I'm not a huge country guy. Although I did go to a tailgate in Tall Boys.
You did.
Earlier this year. I took my wife over there to Bloomington. And Kane Brown, I really like him. Big fan. I'm trying to think who else I saw. Can't think of it off the top of my head. But, yeah, we'll explore that. We'll see. Let's get some sound from John Mozeliak. He spoke to, I hope I'm saying this right, Martin Kilcoyne from St. Louis. He's with the Fox station there, Fox 2, the sports director. He's been doing it for a long time over in St. Louis. He did a one-on-one with the president of baseball operations for the Cardinals, John Mozeliak, about the upcoming trade deadline, about the current state of the Cardinals as they sit there in last place. There was a graphic going around on Twitter, Kyle, of the Cardinals have been in last place, I think, for 72 days in the NL Central this year, which is like the longest streak for the franchise since like the 1920s.
So, pretty impressive, but also
yeah, it's impressive.
Speaks to the severity of the current situation.
Boy, it's been brutal. Let's get to John Mozeliak and his thoughts. He admits some wrongs and is asked about what's that going to mean as we go towards the trade deadline. Here's John Mozeliak.
Well, it's obviously been a very frustrating year for us. I mean, I think you got to start back in the off season, and you know there was some opportunities that, in hindsight, we wish we would have done. I think when you look at the overall makeup of the roster, there's things we would definitely do differently as we sit here today. The injuries have really mounted up for the Cardinals this season. I think when you go back to spring training, we just really never got our team together for various reasons, whether it was injuries or even the WBC. But
who cares? Who cares? Started, I don't
we
care.
Got off to that really slow start. We dug ourselves a really deep hole. And when you do that, I think then all of a sudden it just sort of changes how you're playing. And so when you factor in that you're always playing from behind, you always feel like you're trying to play catch up, I think there's a lot of pressure on these players to do more than they need to. And right now, when you're looking at just overall performance, it's just not there. And when you think about all the...
My bad. I messed that up. Stupid ads on YouTube. I didn't download this. This is bad producing on my end. Don't blame Kyle. Blame me.
No, blame me. I was going to download this and forgot.
Here it is.
You know, how it's affected our bullpen, how it's affected our everyday club. It's hard to work through all that, and we are where we are now, and there's no excuses. I mean, we're just not playing like we hoped we would, and you know, now it's going to be like, how do we think about the next 3 or 4 weeks and what changes can be made, and you know, we're not necessarily like waving the white flag, but all decisions or all moves we do really will try to set us up for next year.
It seemed like everyone was screaming for pitching, fans, media. Why weren't you guys more aggressive in terms of adding pitching?
Well, a couple of reasons. Some of the pitchers that we did chase, we just weren't able to get done. And then the other was we really wanted to give some of these guys an opportunity. And, you know, when you're trying to give your internal guys that first shot, I think the hindsight is probably should have had some depth, though, to cover for it. You know, obviously, Dakota Hudson was somebody that we actually penciled in for our rotation.
No.
He has pitched almost all season at AAA, and that will, you know, that's a problem. And, you know, obviously, Libitor is a guy that we wanted to give a chance to pitch. He got optioned out spring training, and then ultimately he has pitched for us, but he hasn't. He hasn't taken that next step to where you know, we can count on him every good day.
And because you didn't have a lot in Memphis, do you think there was more need for that depth that you talked about? Because I think historically you always say you never have enough. We've been at spring training where you've had 7, 8 starters, and you say it always works itself out. What changed? Did you go hard after some people? Is that it, do you think? I mean, in terms of the market, did the market shift?
I don't think the market really shifted. I think people were just looking at, like, am I really going to get, you know, those innings? And you know, it wasn't like we were necessarily chasing top of market players or pitchers, but, you know, clearly, as we sit here today, yes, we would do something different.
How about, you said not waving the white flag, but your counterpart with the Blues, Doug Armstrong, at one point sort of looked at the fan base and said, hey, it's not happening. We're going to trade O'Reilly, Tarasenko, Barbashev, big name players. Is there any value in your position where you would say, hey, listen, folks, we're just going to be honest. If we have to trade people, we will. Is there any point where that...
Well, I think right now I can tell you that we're going to trade people. I just don't know if it's going to be like household names or more of guys that just aren't likely going to be here next year. And so, you know, it's easy to talk about what we may or may not do at the moment, but we're not going to just like have like give away players. You know, we want to get some value in return. We want to get some return that's going to help us for 2024. And that's going to be really our focus as we enter the trading period.
And the pending free agents, you can potentially get picks for them if you give them the qualifying offer. But are players more of value right now than a pick?
I would think so. You know, obviously that's the exercise we're going to go through. Our hope is we could get more than just the pick. And so that will be what we try to do.
You always seem to be in tune with the fan base. How aware are you? I think there's angst in some circles. There's anger. How aware are you right now of the frustration that's out there?
Well, it depends. Like, you know, like I still speak to groups and I'm, you know, still out there. And I think when they're face to face with you, they have empathy and, you know, feel bad for where you are. I think when you go online and you read what people are writing about you, yeah, there's real anger. And I'm sure a lot of people are calling for my job. And
enough!
I can understand that to some level. I mean, it hasn't been a good year. We get it.
What's your level of dialogue with Mr. DeWitt? How engaged is he at this point with what's going on?
I talk to Bill regularly. You know, obviously he's frustrated too. I mean, I think, you know, if you were to talk to both of us, first day of spring training, we had a lot of optimism going into the season. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, it has not played out.
What the hell?
John Mozeliak speaking with Martin Kilcoyne for Fox 2 in St. Louis. Let me play you a little bit more of him, and then we will react back to John Mozeliak.
Give you a chance to win. You guys were bullish on the lineup. Is it that simple that you can't out-hit your way from bad pitching?
It's not only just like bad performance on the pitching side. It's just when it's happening, too. It can be quite deflating when you go into the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning with a lead and you can't hold it. I mean, we've experienced that here in the past where we've struggled at the back end of a game, but you find solutions for it. But, you know, I think losing Helsley, you know, really hurt us. Obviously, Hicks has stepped up, but it's just every time you lose somebody out of that bullpen, especially that could handle high leverage, it hurts. And I think, you know, no matter how much depth you build, it's still always being tested.
What's next for Adam Wainwright? And is that a conversation that you and him will have at some point as to how to go about this?
You know, he and I have chatted. You know, he certainly wants to come back and pitch. He really wants to prove he can do this. But there's a physical element to this. And, you know, out of respect for what he's done for this organization, we're certainly going to try to allow for that to happen. But we also have to be realistic. If it's not going to happen, then, you know, that page may have to be turned.
In terms of your star players, Goldschmidt, Arenado, guys who are kind of at their prime, Arenado couldn't be at a higher level. Is there an obligation to win while they're here, kind of to build around them? And you even famously went and met with Arenado last offseason, right? Didn't he say, hey, are we going to be competitive? Are we going to win? Wasn't that the tenor at that point?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I believed in the club we were putting together. You know, clearly, you know, we haven't delivered on that end, and I'm sure that there's some frustration in that clubhouse because, I mean, the history of the Cardinals, especially the last two decades, has been, you know, you're going to win. You're competing to go play in October. And, you know, clearly as we sit here in the second week of July, the reality is it's probably not going to happen. So now it's going to be, what are we going to look like in the future?
Has the bar lowered from we're going to win a title to we're going to win a division? There's a narrative that the Cardinals want to be just good enough to get in. And granted, you get in, anything can happen. I think we all believe that. But are you guys content with just getting in as opposed to being a little more bold?
No, I think people equate bold with spending. And I don't know if that's the fairest way to look at it. But, you know, there's many...
Or maybe aggressive. Maybe.
Again, it's... however you want to phrase it, there are many teams out there that outspend us or out-aggressive us, and they're finding themselves in similar situations. So I don't think that's solely the answer. What you're trying to do is build a roster that you believe in that will, give you a chance to win. And, you know, then you look more at the trading deadline to add those extra pieces that might put you over the top. And, you know, history says that can work, and sometimes it doesn't. But the fact remains, where we are today, it's hard to imagine this current group getting to where we need to go.
Because you guys have had success, is there any fear of complacency where you can point to, hey, we've always been good? Is there still that urgency to win each year?
I mean, I think I hear that more, that maybe we are more complacent or maybe are arrogant in the fact that we've had the success we've had. But I assure you, even when we look at what we put together on paper, it should have worked better, but it didn't. And now, remember, what's on paper is not the human being and that element of how it all gels. And so, clearly, the front office, ownership front office, we know we have to do something different.
That is John Mozeliak, 9 minutes strong there. I appreciate there were some good questions asked.
I was going to say, give credit to Martin Kilcoin. Is that right? The question, those are not questions you typically get in your media post-game pressers or whatever it is. He's going in there saying, why didn't you get pitching? Is winning, it seems like winning a division is all you guys care about. Is that true? Why is Adam Wainwright still pitching for your team? It's just, those are the questions that fans have been asking and want to know, and give him credit, he asked him.
He asked some tough questions. I do think that, especially early on, John Mozeliak was doing some dancing, especially when he's talking
the injuries. The pitching answer was ridiculous to me.
We were really relying on Dakota Hudson.
Really? We wanted to give our internal guys a chance this year. That's something that I can accept if you have like three or four young guys that are unproven, but they got potential and you want to see what you got, or you're building a rotation for the future. When you got Steven Matz and Flaherty and Wainwright and whatever, you know exactly who those guys are. You're not giving them a chance. I mean, what did you think of that answer? Like, that would really, tick me off if that was Jed Hoyer saying that about some area of the ball club where you got four veterans who have been bad and you didn't address it, and now you're like, well, we wanted to give those guys a chance. I'd be really ticked off to hear that, because that's just not how you build a team.
It's a cop-out answer. And yes, I would have expected more, and we talked about it. We've talked about it in recent weeks, but we circled back to it yesterday because, unfortunately, Randy Arozarena continues to make us think about that trade. Matthew Liberatore was the top pitching prospect for the Rays when they dealt him, even higher than Shane McClanahan, who's their current favorite, I believe, for the American League Cy Young. He's sitting there at 11-1. I would imagine that he would be. You'd think that Matthew Liberatore would be showing a little bit more than a 6 ERA and showing that he can stick in a rotation, number one, let alone can he be a top-end caliber starter. Now, he's still only like 24 years old, and some of the guys that were in that same 2018 draft outside of McClanahan, particularly guys that are out of high school, still have a number of things to accomplish to season themselves. And, I mean, Hunter Green, we were talking about it off the air with the Reds, highly touted young arm for Cincinnati that, yeah, has great stuff, but, I mean, his ERA hasn't been great. No. And I'm not trying to deflect for Liberatore. I just think in general, I understand trying to get him in the mix and seeing what he's got, but that doesn't necessarily mean you should just duck going out and signing starting pitching. Because his line that got laughed at then and obviously now is that, why would we need starting pitching? We have six of them. When you have to my knowledge, I think, if not the worst, probably tied with, I wouldn't say the worst.
Yeah,
I think the Oakland A's
exist,
are maybe one of the worst starting rotations ever assembled. I don't even need to look up the stats to back that up. I'm pretty confident in that. But the Cardinals are one of the worst out there in terms of overall pitching. The bullpen has failed you miserably when you're at the top of the league in blown saves. And yes, Ryan Helsley's injury is an adequate point in pointing that out as well. But that was a very frustrating answer. And I'm not here to take the answer of injuries. Like, okay, so Wainwright had a later start after the World Baseball Classic. And yeah, you had Tyler O'Neill get hurt yet again. Like, there's some guys who Waino should be breaking down at this stage of his career. That shouldn't be a surprise. You should be prepared for something like that to happen. Tyler O'Neill has been injury prone his entire career. Some of those things you got to be able to foresee and prepare for and not rely on those type of guys, and yet the Cardinals did.
Yeah. What is your ideal trade deadline look like? Because I asked Lon this question. Do you want to see just a full restart? Are you okay with Goldschmidt, Arenado potentially being available? Do you just want to trade the Montgomerys and the Flahertys of the world? Do you want to buy a piece for next year? What do you hope happens at the trade deadline for the Cardinals? Are you open to a lot, or is there – you definitely want to keep the star guys and just try to move on from the rentals.
It's tough. It's tough to – I haven't honestly landed on a strong position one way or the other. The idea of trading Goldie and Nato, I'm not really on board with at this stage, because I think that the lineup, another year of Jordan Walker coming up, another year of Nolan Gorman, who's still a little inconsistent, has not fully solidified himself as someone I can count on all the time. I just don't feel like the lineup's that far away. Do they need to tweak some things? Do they need to get another outfielder in that mix? Absolutely. Do you need Wilson Contreras to not be a dud? As a catcher signing, yes, absolutely. So I would still like to keep those guys. Where does this team go if you sell those pieces off? Like, I would be intrigued if, like, Goldie, who would be the most valuable piece in my mind, although no, Nato probably would be. I don't know how many more years does Nato have on his contract, because he just opted into a handful of more years.
Four more?
Yeah, so Nato would have the most value. Goldie's including still, this year, maybe? Still, I think this is the best window to trade Goldie if you're going to do it, because he is in his upper 30s. He's got this year and another year left to control. So if you're going to do it, if you're going to pick a lane of rebuilding, I think this is the time when you would need to trade him. And if you're going to tell me that he commands a top-level arm that you could insert into your rotation, I would consider it. But I still think that the lineup isn't that far away, in my opinion. And then if you can go out and spend, because that's the other thing where Martin Kilcoin accurately like presses Mozeliak on, people are saying you guys are being complacent, not aggressive. Why is your payroll in terms of positioning in the league decreasing? Why are you now a middle-of-the-pack spending team, where in the past you've at least been like in the top 10, go spend money on pitching. You have to. So that's where I'm at. That's not a surefire answer. And maybe as we get closer to the deadline, I'll know exactly where I'm going to land. But I just don't think, unfortunately, Flaherty's not going to get you anything. I don't think his return is going to be worth anything. I'm not breaking any news there. Montgomery might be, he's decently valuable as a middle of back end rotation guy for a contender, yeah, probably a back end of the rotation guy for a team that actually matters.
The other thing too, that, and this is when I'm always talking to people about the Cubs and the trade deadline, you just have to realize rentals just don't have a ton of value. Even the top of the line rental guys at the trade deadline, you're trading for 2 months of that guy. Now, yeah, could it be the missing piece to World Series team, whatever? If you look at the recent deals for rentals, you're getting maybe a fringe top 10 guy in someone's system and a couple other lottery tickets. It's the guys, when you had Trey Turner, it was Trey Turner and Max Scherzer 2 years ago, where they both had a year left on their deal. And you had Juan Soto last year, who has a year left on his contract. Like, those are the guys that are commanding the blue chip guys. You just, the value for rentals just isn't all that high, you know? And so that's why I am always reluctant to be like, oh, you got to trade this rental because you're going to get the next stud. Nah, you know, that's pretty rare that happens.
Yeah. And I've heard there's been a growing buzz out there about the Cardinals and the Mariners being possible trade prospects, because the Mariners want hitting,
right?
And they have a number of starters that they could dish, although it sounds like they don't want to trade George Kirby. And I think that the price tag on Bryce Miller would be extremely high, but Logan Gilbert seems to be available for a certain price. Now, it might take Nolan Gorman and another piece to be able to get that done. And another part of my view of the lineup is like Mason Wynn's another guy that's coming up and should be a main factor in that. Now, again, he's not a proven player at the major league level, and we've seen I've seen enough examples of the – what's his name? Oh, the third baseman. There's been enough guys through the years that have been highly touted prospects. Even look at a Dylan Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Wallace is the guy I was trying to think of, but Carlson was a guy that got fans really, really excited about who he's going to be, and now I think he's an average to maybe – I don't even know if he's above average outfielder. Right now he's not. Right now he's an average outfielder.
That I mean, that's the case in baseball. The hit rate on these prospects, unless you have the generational or the, you know, an Ellie De La Cruz type where he's one of the top 1-2 prospects in baseball, this guy is going to be good. The Jordan Walkers. The hit rate on prospects just isn't all that high because the major league talent is just so much different than minor league talent. It's just – it. For some guys, you just never really figure it out against a 98-mile-an-hour fastball in the majors, you know? So it's just – that's why I always have a problem with relying on, okay, we're going to rely on A and B, C down in our prospect list. These are the future. These are we're going to put all our eggs into this basket. We're not going to supplement it with proven talent. This is kind of off the point you were trying to make. I'm just making my own point now, but yeah. To me, it's really risky to rely on a prospect unless it's a Chris Bryant type for the Cubs back in 2015 or a Jordan Walker type for the Cardinals this year. You shouldn't put all your chips into the prospect basket because there's just so many cases of that where this guy is the next 10-time All-Star and he's a below average player. He just never figures it out.
No, that's a very fair and good point. Another guy it seemed like that the Mariners might be interested in is a Tommy Edman. Maybe the Cardinals would look to trade him. And Mozeliak said he's not sure right now whether it's going to be household names that are available. Obviously, Goldschmidt and Arenado would be of that caliber. And I think if you were to trade Goldie, then I think that Nada would probably be asking out too. Because, right. I mean, he wants to be on a contender, and that was his whole idea of coming to St. Louis.
It is interesting, though, because Paul Goldschmidt's would have a ton of value with a year left on his contract and the numbers that he's put up the last couple of years. That's all of a sudden you trade Goldschmidt and you probably could get the top pitching prospect in someone's system or even a guy that maybe has already cracked the majors. For Arenado, it would have to be a big market team because not every team's paying a guy $120 million over 4 years, but right. A guy that, hey, we have our third baseman, an all-star caliber third baseman for 4 years. You're going to get a haul for that. Like, that's where you could really kickstart a true rebuild.
And I guess...
But is knowing the St. Louis Cardinals, that's not something that,
that's
A,
not what they do.
The front office is going to do, and B, the fans are going to be okay with.
I know one theory out there, I know we got to catch a break, is that you could trade Goldie to get that haul back and maybe get a top-line pitching prospect and then go out and spend the money to try to fill. I mean, you're not going to go in free agency and sign the equivalent of Paul Goldschmidt, but you would take his $25 million a year off the books and then be able to go out and spend to make sure that that first base position.
But that's the problem with this year's free agent class. Hitting is not very strong other than Shohei Ohtani.
No, we'll just get him then.
What if that's the plan for the Cardinals? I mean, is we're gonna trade Arenado, we're gonna trade Goldschmidt, we're gonna load up on some pitching prospects, and then we're gonna offer Ohtani $700 million.
I don't think he wants to go to a team last place bottom feeder in the Central. I was hearing people talk about like he's gonna be a Dodger. I'm like, man, no,
he is.
I'm
gonna tell you, I think he is.
No,
the Dodgers have been. The Dodgers have operated this past year.
How do they
solely
have that money, man?
Well, they've cut their spending a little bit this past offseason. They really didn't sign anybody, and not to say their payroll's not still top five in baseball. They didn't really sign anybody this offseason. And according to, I think it was Ken Rosenthal brought this up, it's like that was strategic because they want to make Shohei Ohtani an offer he cannot pass up next year.
Put him in Boston. They didn't spend the money to re-sign Mookie or Bogarts.
Again, that's the thing with Ohtani, too. Like, that's even the Cubs thing. Like, yeah, I hope that the Cubs at least make a big-time offer to Ohtani. He's not picking the Cubs. The Cubs are about to potentially sell for the third straight year. They're 500-500. You need to be a perennial winner to command a guy of Shohei Ohtani's caliber. And I think it's the Dodgers or the Yankees for him. That'd be my guess.
Gross. All right, catch a break, come back, wrap up the show. This is The Drive.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, champagne.com. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local, hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at KelseyFurniture.com. That's KelseyFurniture.com.
Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes, and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helping me find the size of boot I needed. And then I bought a second pair, too. Everything was friendly. Everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com. Pards.com. Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
You know, champions, SEC champions, elite. That's what LSU needs to be. And we plan on staying on the top.
You want to go ahead and say it?
Go Tigers. But we knew we was going to win that game today. We started off Monday knowing we're going to win this game.
Congratulations, Ed.
Go Tigers.
Ed Orgeron. Kyle, can you fill us in real quick before we get out of here?
According to a report that just dropped, former LSU head coach Ed Orgeron would have interest in coaching at Northwestern should the program reach out.
I told you off the air, they could do worse.
They could do worse. I cannot imagine that voice coaching Northwestern football.
But hey, get ready for
him. Coach, thank you.
Thank you. Go Tigers.
Can you say
go Cats?
Go Cats is go Tigers, go Cats. That might be an easy transition, maybe. It'd be hard to say it as cool as go Tigers sounds, but yeah, that's all we got.
You can't do the G-E-A-U-X version at Northwestern either.
Northwestern has a lot to figure out. It's going to be interesting to navigate. And Big Ten Media Day is coming up here in a couple of weeks. And
are they going
to
send anyone? Or?
I saw Jeremy Warner, our friend, IlliniInquirer.com, posted the three players. I admittedly didn't recognize the three names, but they got their three players as their representatives. I don't know who they're sending coaching-wise. They got
whoever it is better be ready to answer some questions.
Ooh, man, that's going to be a lot. All right. Appreciate everybody tuning in, listening to us. We'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great night. This is The Drive.
Short-term market fluctuations can be unnerving for everyone. A proven way to tune out the noise and focus on long-term investment goals is to adhere to a well-constructed investment plan. This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. If you don't have a plan, we can help create one designed specifically for you. Call us.